We're back with more Lake Effect. I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Bonnie North. Tomorrow night, the Milwaukee Ballet opens Kaleidoscope Eyes. It's an evening of work from three choreographers, and it features the Milwaukee Ballet Company.
There's Trey McIntyre's A Day in the Life, which features music by the Beatles, a new work by Genesis 2015 winner Garrett Smith called Addendum, and a world premiere called The Sixth Sin by our next guest, Timothy O'Donnell.
O'Donnell took a break from rehearsal to chat with us recently, and he explained why he wanted to create a ballet about body image.
I tend to want to create works on things that I've been contemplating. I just feel that there's a lack of story in modern dance. Not necessarily that I'm creating narrative works, but I really want the audience to know and to understand what they're seeing. I think there's a great disconnect, and one of the reasons we've sort of alienated people from modern dance is that they don't know what they should be thinking or feeling. And I really want, I want to tell a story. I want to portray an idea, and I want them to be able to connect to it so they can really think about it. So,
what do you think caused that? Was it that people at one point in dance history were just more interested in form?
Possibly. I think dance history, it started with story ballets. So you were telling a story. It was a development from pantomime. And that moved into, you know, people going and seeing a show and following. There was still a lot of pantomime in that. And then when modern dance started to happen with Nijinsky, there was still at that point, the central characters actually were somebody. But then moving sort of into the last century, it became more about abstract shape and form. It follows very on with, you know, postmodern art. It all sort of went in the same way. So it became just about the physicality of movement and what people could express without... without acting and without a narrative. And I think at some point through that, it started to drive people away. People started to not know what they were watching, or not know how to take in what they were watching. And I think when people go to an art gallery, they're not so concerned by that. They feel okay walking by a painting and not knowing what it is, neither liking it or disliking it. But when you come into this theatre setting and people have to give a response, I think it can make people feel a little alienated. And that's something that I've wanted to battle ever since I moved into mainstream choreography.
So when you are telling this story, does it also depend on the company that you are doing this for? Or does it have sort of a pure form in your head first, then you adjust depending on the dancers that you have?
Well, you're very much, I think anybody who's successful in choreography looks at the paints that they have to use. You know, there's no point me trying to make one of the dancers be something that they're not, especially in a creation process. I mean, yes, you have to push them further than they think they can go a lot of the time, because dancers often have a thing where they say, I can't do that. I'm not that sort of dancer. And when you're creating on someone, you actually know what they're capable of a lot more than they do. So I try to utilize the skills of the people in the piece, and that also very much influences the work that I do as far as the movement qualities and the aesthetics, though the form itself is something that is very much in my head from the beginning.
So the basic story is there. It's
yes,
like how,
absolutely.
Okay. So it's how you get there.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about this one that we're going to see tomorrow night.
So I, throughout my career, had and have had a lot of issues with body image. And this is something that I've wanted to work into a choreographic piece for a long time. I think it's something that a lot of dancers have, but I wanted to find in this work a way that I could put that idea and set that on society and the in the larger way. So I started to think that this has got more to do with envy and how envy has sort of become this modern plague, really. And how that fits as I started to think about celebrity culture and how we spend so much of our time idolizing these people with these very much manufactured lives. You know, we only see the best of their lives. And I started to think how that affects us as the everyday people, looking at our own lives and making us feel like we're lesser, and how that envy then starts to become a destructive force for us. And on the flip side of that, I wanted to show that when you get these things that you think you want, you might not necessarily be any happier than you were when you started, and then you realize you may have wasted so much energy striving for something that you didn't even really understand, and you've missed out on a lot of life in that time.
You know, the idea of body image being an issue, I mean, I know there are articles written in dance magazines and people talk about feeling they need to be a certain body type. How do you battle that as a dancer and a choreographer yourself personally? How do you find a center for yourself where you're feeling healthy and good?
Well, you have to constantly be reminded that you're being a little bit crazy. I think that really helps. But for me, it was only last year I had this year which I decided I'm going to love my body, because it had started to drive me crazy. So much energy I was wasting looking into the mirror, which we have to do as dancers every single day, just staring in that mirror and picking my body apart. And then last year I decided I did no ridiculous dieting last year. I just was like, this is me. And there was something about doing that which got rid of the poisonous attitude that I had created towards body image and myself. And I realized how much energy I was wasting on that. So
and
it was
so
actually a big process for me to go through that. And I don't think a lot of people go through that. But as a dancer, I'm also generally very fit and healthy, you know, and I think I have ways of keeping myself in shape. And even when I'm what I would consider out of shape, I'm still very much in shape. But then in larger society, when you're walking through every single supermarket and you have perfect people, very photoshopped, perfect people just hitting you from all sides and the internet and it's everywhere. And I think a lot of people don't necessarily feel that that's anything that's attainable for them, you know,
And of course it isn't, because as you say, it's photoshopped.
It's so photoshopped.
I mean, it's not attainable for any of us, no matter how much you diet or work out or are blessed with a certain kind of, you know, genetics.
Uh-huh.
None of us can do that.
And we're always talking about the 1% financially nowadays, but there's also that 1% physically who just happen to be a certain way, you know, and we can all get in fantastic shape, but I promise you, no matter how great a shape you get in, you still won't have the specific body that you want, because we will always want things that are unobtainable. You know, we always might want to be taller or broader, things that have to do with bone structure that we can't achieve by going to the gym or dieting.
Right.
And I think what I really want people to take away from this piece is just to think about this in relation to themselves and just try to be a little happier and try to be a little more accepting of whatever they are. I think I would like that to be the impact this piece has.
How have the dancers reacted to it in rehearsal?
It starts off in more of a comical way, which I thought was just a nice way to relax the audience and to pull them in before it got too deep. And I started with that section. So it was a lot of fun at first. You know, I asked all the girls to wobble their arms and do things that they usually try and avoid doing, and you know, the boys
standing
try
a certain way.
Exactly. Yeah. And the boys try to overflex their muscles when girls walk past and all of those sorts of things. But I recorded a little girl speaking about how when she grows up, she wants to be skinny and pretty like the girls in the magazines, and everyone will love her and then she'll be happy. And I hadn't played that for them or told them that I was going to do it. In one rehearsal, I just put that in there and played it. And there was this gasp across the room. And the girls were all mortified that I had put that in there, because they were like, you can't, that's so sad, Tim, that's so sad. And I said, but this is what people need to know. You know, when researching this piece, I found out that since 1996, the amount of children under 10 years old who have been admitted to hospital for eating disorders has gone up by 120%, which is terrifying.
It really
and
is.
Children as young as 5 and 6 are suffering from anxiety due to body image, you know. So I don't think this is one of those things that you can just avoid, you know, and even if we know it, this is my opportunity, my outlet to have a voice on the topic. I didn't want to shy away from really going to the place that's important.
Well, you are sharing a stage with a couple of other people who unfortunately couldn't be here
today.
A couple
of great people.
So I'm hoping you can talk just a little bit about what they're doing and how that's fitting in, or how you see it fitting in with your piece.
Well, we have Garrett Smith returning, who won our international choreographic competition, Genesis, last year, and he is highly creative, highly energized individual. When he was here for Genesis last year, we were at our boss's house, Michael Pink's house, for dinner, and there was this tiny chair in the room, and he was in a creative mood and started playing with this tiny, tiny chair and thought, I could do a piece where everybody has these tiny chairs. So he's created this abstract but brilliant work with, I think, 9 dancers in it, and they've all got their own little chair, and the architecture of the piece is really quite extraordinary and very... it's almost like watching a kaleidoscope in a lot of ways. It just keeps unfolding in new, unexpected ways. And his work in general is highly, highly detail-based, very musical, very precise, very athletic. The dancers are incredibly sore from rehearsing his work. And he's quite a taskmaster in rehearsal, so his piece is very exciting. And we're also doing a work, A Day in the Life by Trey McIntyre. He created this work on Washington Ballet in 2006, and it's set to the music of the Beatles. It's very fun, also very high energy. I think that's a bit of a theme of the show, is extreme athleticism.
Whether they're with little chairs or not.
Exactly. A lot of athleticism. And interestingly, the boy who's doing the lead, Mark Petrocci, who's one of our leading artists, actually understudied this part while doing the Trey McIntyre project several years ago. So this whole idea of the day in the life being this full circle feeling, Mark's actually experiencing that because he's now doing the lead in Trey's piece.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah.
Now, are you dancing in anything? Or
I will be in Trey's piece.
Okay. So in addition to doing your own piece, you're actually having to put your dancer hat back on too.
Yes, which is, it's great for me.
Yeah.
It gives me time to, I remember saying that earlier in the process that I'd walk out of my rehearsal and I was so excited to be able to walk into a room and just be told what to do. You know, after 3 hours of having a room full of people, and I've got a really large cast, and having a room full of people looking at me for answers, you know, it's really draining, which is something people don't often think about, because you're not always churning out material. Some days you just get there and, you know, it's like a writer's block. You know what you have isn't working, but you're just not sure where to go. So going into another rehearsal for me is brilliant. And I also teach at the Milwaukee Ballet School, which is another great thing.
Feeds you in another way.
It does. And it just also clears my mind and makes me focus on something else for a while. Because I don't think there's not much, other than reading, there's not many things that I do that can switch my mind off from, you know, because it's so easy to get absorbed, like totally absorbed in what you're doing. I always have to remind myself of that with my partner and with all my friends, that I have to be very aware of them when I'm in a process like this, because I can become incredibly self-absorbed.
Well, I was going to say that being a dancer in another piece allows you to get back into your body in a good way.
Absolutely. And also it makes me use different muscle groups, which is interesting, because if I'm always in mine, I feel like you have that potential to get stuck in your own rhythm, and being forced to go into someone else's rehearsal and dance and use an arm that feels unnatural to me is actually quite creatively stimulating.
So, again, full circle.
Yeah,
it all
totally
comes back around.
Totally.
Well, Tim, it is always such a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much for stopping by.
No problems. It was great.
Timothy O'Donnell is choreographer in residence with the Milwaukee Ballet. The world premiere of his work, The Sixth Sense, is one-third of the bill of Kaleidoscope Eyes, and that opens tomorrow night at the Marcus Center.
There's more information about the performance at wuwm.com.